Bank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, you'll never guess how many kittens we added to the tank.
These 7 weird tricks for listening to our podcast will make your mind literally blow up and improve your love life.
And you won't believe what I say to Troy after this. Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your clickable-sized podcast.
Why do I have so many tabs open?
First, the news. The ULA Delta II carrying the Joint Polar Satellite System was scrubbed last week. And Edgar Zapata wrote a research paper which theorizes that NASA's 2006 investment in SpaceX has cut costs to orbit to almost 38%. The Orville is going on hiatus this week, and Discovery is still out until January 7th.
EA is under fire. Last week, Battlefront 2 came out and a bunch of content was locked behind things you had to pay for with real money. Ooh. EA, when will you learn? Stop cutting crap out of your video games and let us play.
Coming out on Wednesday, November 22nd, is Disney's new film, Coco. Dramatic voice reading.
Through that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you do.
Despite his family's baffling generations-old ban on music, Miguel dreams of becoming an accomplished musician like his idol, Ernesto de la Cruz. Despite desperate to prove his talent, Miguel finds himself in the stunning and colorful land of the dead, following a mysterious chain of events. Along the way, he meets a charming trickster, Hector, and together they set off on an extraordinary journey to unlock the real story behind Miguel's family history.
I'm super stoked for this.
It looks cool. Awesome.
And you're an artist, so of course.
Yeah, I just love it.
It looks beautiful, and the music is beautiful. So.
Well, and there's a lot of beauty behind the Day of the Dead.
Yes.
I love the artwork in Day of the Dead just as a cultural artwork, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's such a celebration.
Yeah.
It's not what I really expected when I first learned about it, but it's so gorgeous.
It's a beautiful celebration. It's kind of like Halloween. I like it. I mean, I like the culture behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I mean, the painting, the face painting, and the way that they do the artwork.
And what better way to get in the mood for Thanksgiving?
Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, what?
And that's the news. So this episode is about clickbait.
Hey, Chelsea, what's clickbait?
Oh, my God. Clickbait is a thing, essentially a title that grabs you and makes you say, oh my gosh, I wonder what that thing is. I should totally click on this link. And you either get a bunch of BS or an actual article that's slightly disappointment.
They usually don't
disappointing.
Pull through on their promise of what they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
Or they.
A lot of YouTube videos do that. Mm-hmm. PewDiePie is best known on YouTube for pulling that BS.
So he's clickbaity.
So clickbait is basically
clickbait.
A way of tricking you into clicking on it and going and looking at whatever it is I want you to look at.
Yeah, BuzzFeed does it a lot too. Like, you'll click one BuzzFeed article and then you'll see like 15 more, and all of a sudden you have like 45 tabs open, and there goes your day.
And it's gone.
It's all
gone. You had
gone.
A day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But now it's gone.
Clickbait that like I click on usually is like, let's look at this list of the 14 cutest kittens in the world. And I'm like, yes, I would love to see that.
I need to see the 14 cutest kittens in the world.
Because I can't have kittens because my boyfriend's allergic.
And it gets me because they will do the 12 things that most Trekkies do not know about Star Trek.
Yes.
And I'll click on that and I'll be like, I knew all of this.
Yep.
Or the 17 things you missed in the new Star Wars film.
Yep.
And you're like, but I totally saw like 15 of those, and the last two were ridiculous.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Like, oh, they changed the fabric of Kylo Ren's costume in the last frame of the last scene. Like, really, bro?
And that was an important thing?
Yeah, apparently.
And I needed to go through this for that?
Yeah.
And you totally did that to me, because I hate you.
I'm wondering if people who don't know those things click on them. Someone who doesn't know those 17 crazy trivia things about William Shatner, they, oh, I didn't know he was Canadian or half Canadian or something like that. The people who would tend to be drawn to that, I would think, would know all of that already.
Right, because obviously, I mean, you know, it's like you know they're tailored.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're not a Trekkie. I know that I get at least one, if not two, a day Star Trek ones. And I know that
of, like,
normal non-Trekkies are not getting Star Trek ones in their feeds.
Yeah.
So they're tailored. Mm-hmm. Because if everybody's getting one, if two Star Trek ones a day, then everybody would be like, what's this problem with these people on Star Trek?
My mom would click on that.
Your mom.
So she probably gets the 13 things you didn't realize
about
Elvis.
Elvis. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
It's true. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, and I don't get the 13 things you never knew about Elvis. And so it's like, well,
and clearly those 13 things you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
Well, it's like Troy and I get like the 20 creepiest scenes in Hollywood films.
Right.
Or like the 17 jump scares that you'll never live through.
Yeah. 35 right. jump scares that will kill guy.
Right. After this.
That's,
dang it. I
40
hate
mythological creatures that you'll never believe actually existed. And you're like, but
yeah,
they
that would
don't.
Come up in my feed and I'd be like, yep, scrolling right past that one.
So the things you look for with clickbait, are they have tricks that they get into. And that was, are we going into that for this segment or is that later? I forgot our segment titles.
Yeah. No, we're going into that
the
now.
The psychology
well,
of clickbait.
We'll get psychology later.
Later.
But
so
the why behind it is kind of interesting.
Money.
Because it's money.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they want you to do is they want you to click on their website, because every time you click on their website, it costs. They get a hit on their advertisements.
Right.
And that's why
and
when
so
you get
really
these 13
that.
Lists, each one item is a click.
Yeah.
Well, with technology now, you're trying to consume things in low quantity. So, like, when I'm on the internet and I'm on a break at work, I know I have 15 minutes. What do I have 15 minutes to do? I have 15 minutes to read this cracked article. But if I fall down the crack hole, which is what I call, like,
she went down the crack hole.
When you click on crack, like, I get addicted. I'm super addicted to cracked, so I actively avoid it at work because I'll read one thing and I'll open up 15 tabs in the course of reading that because it'll list, like, three on page one and three on page two and three on page three, and then I'm, like, clicking endless.
I never get past the first page.
Yeah, because, if they do that, I close
it. I found
it.
That here's my one weird trick.
Here's your one weird trick to stop
falling for that.
Going falling
click
for that.
On the comments. Because
yeah.
Often you'll get some hero who has taken all of the listed items and puts them all in one comment post. So all you have to do is look at the one comment post. And they almost always get upvoted to the top of the comment list, so they're at the top because everybody loves that they saved them the time of mm-hmm. that. A lot of the clickbait stuff will be something where they give you half a story with the stinger of the story missing. So it'll be like, One day I went home early from work, and my wife wasn't expecting me when I came in through the front door, and then the story cuts off, so they want you to click on it to see what happened next.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you click in the comments, and it says, she had made a pie for me, the end. And so they save you the
You're
trouble
like,
of clicking on the thing and going through the whole, because they'll always put that story last
so
in the list,
like
too.
So you have, like, the TLDR, the too long didn't read.
Yeah, too long didn't read.
Too long didn't read.
They'll give you the... little thing in there, and that keeps you from giving them money for their and encouraging
well, and like
things like that.
Dipley is the one that gets me. Dipley's all over Facebook.
I don't
and
know that one.
So it'll be like 13 times people got burned on Twitter, and I'm like, heck yes, I don't like people today. I want to see some people getting burned. And it'll be like one with a bunch of different ads, and then you have to click the next one
right, yeah.
and then get two. And I'm
see,
just
I've
like,
seen that on BuzzFeed too.
And I've given up after a little bit because I'm just like, there's so many ads. I hate this.
See,
oh
would,
my God.
I would
God.
Have one of the pictures be like Joan of Arc. 13 people that got burned.
Yeah. That would have been good.
On Twitter.
On well, Twitter.
She's on Twitter now because you put the picture there.
There's your picture.
Because everybody knows there's photographic evidence of Joan of Arc.
Yep.
Well,
everything
like,
happens for a reason. Wait.
If there's
know,
no pictures, it doesn't happen.
Well, she was on Twitter before she got burned.
Yep.
Our Abraham Lincoln told
he
me
did.
So.
And anything he says on the internet's true.
It's true.
Yeah. They just came back from the dead and just started to start tweeting. Yeah.
You know what we meme.
Anyway, so
too topical.
We're talking about, yeah, I mean, this.
Well, it's kind of evolved from the stinger, from the news stinger, like, what's in your soup might kill you. And you're like, oh, God, I need to stay through the commercials to find out what's in my soup. And they're like, it's chicken stock and raw chicken will kill you. And you're like, yeah, I knew that. But like, chicken stock isn't made of raw chicken, y'all.
What I just saw a few months ago was how avocados are sending people to the hospital. And this was on the news. And it's like more after this.
Oh, no.
And it's not the avocados.
What was it?
It's people who don't know how to handle knives when they're cutting avocados. So they're using really bad technique. They're not using proper chef technique for cutting the avocado, and they're cutting into their hand.
Oh, okay.
And it's deflecting off of the pit in the avocado and bouncing into their hand. But it's not, the way they had it made
it
sound
doing?
Like...
doing? Chopping it with like a samurai sword?
They're holding it in their hand while they
cut
it.
Oh, and they're trying to like pair around it?
So it's going around the pit?
But...
It's not orbiting the pit.
It's not the avocado's fault. Avocados don't cut people. Stupid people with knives cut themselves.
Well, then there's outrage over why, like, they made the avocados seem like mass murderers.
Right.
Avocados are mass murderers?
I don't know.
More after this. Avocados are mass murderers.
I don't know what they're guacking about.
You never know what you'll hear on Geek Tank. Yeah. So now we have proven that avocados are mass murderers.
I guess so.
I feel sad.
16 ways to prove that avocados are mass murderers.
Well, they don't get away with it. They're always getting caught by the California Highway Patrol, who are also known as chips.
Yeah, it's true.
But then maybe they could be redeemed.
You'll find that one on Diply.
Avocados are using pure green energy to fuel Americans.
Okay, how did we get on avocados from there? I mean, now we've got
everybody loves a good avocado.
It started to make sense, and then it stopped.
Exactly.
So this is what you get for clicking on this.
But, like, sometimes articles go down that hole until nothing makes sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And they said that clickbait was, like, the death of modern journalism.
Well,
because you have to
degree, we have
pop
a lot
and grab
of that
attention.
Kind of stuff that we're going to get into in the psychology of this. Because we have that in, like, part three, the negative effects of...
Yeah, but what about the science? Because I think that's part one. What's the difference between the science and the psychology?
I don't know. It is kind of a science in and of itself. The psychology is a science.
Right, yeah. Because essentially...
So what is it? It's essentially, I cut you off.
When you see a link that makes you curious about something, you get a hit of dopamine in your brain because you're excited. You want to know. You're curious. And once you click that link, that rush is over. They've got you, and so you usually, like, read through the article. And usually if they'll tell you it's a list of, like, five things, then you know, hey, it's only five things. It's not going to take me that long to read because your brain is organizing it, essentially. Oh, it's this list of five things. Here's one. Okay, I've got through one, two, through two, three, four, and five. That didn't take very long, and it could have taken, like, 50 minutes.
It makes it finite.
Exactly.
You're like, okay, I've only got five.
There's an end result.
You think it's going to be fast.
Unless they give you a bonus, and then it just wrecks your world.
Well, it's not finite for you because you click on all the other... If you like this, you'll also like this.
Oh, my God, I do, and it's so bad.
Well, and one of the other things that was brought up was this falls into what George Loewenstein of Carnegie Mulligan. Can I say it again? Because I just like to say
sure.
Mulligan.
How do you get to Carnegie Mulligan? Practice.
George Loewenstein, in the mid-1990s, came up with what he called the information gap, which is when you... It's a theory about where you give the beginning and the end of something, and then you fill in the gap. You have to know what's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so drawn to filling in that gap and knowing what's in the middle, they will be drawn in. And so it's this feeling of deprivation that draws people into this. And so you have to do something. You're compelled.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what they do that does that. So headlines like, someone gave some kid some scissors. Here's what happened next.
Like,
you
oh,
have
God.
To know. You've got to know.
It's
you
human
know what
curiosity.
Happened next. You yeah. know what happened next.
Yeah, he cut up little shapes and made little animals.
Right. But it's not but it's not just that. I mean, it's the, you know, you go into this negative, you know what, it's like
you know it's going to be BS. You know
it. Husband came home Right. And the wife didn't know
you're fully expecting it to be something saucy and bad.
It's
going to
be saucy and bad. So you've already done that. The information gap has already, but you've got to find out.
Depending on how good of a baker is, it could have been saucy and bad.
Could have been saucy.
Well, then
and
you
bad.
Either have a positive or a negative response because, you know, a wife having a pie could be really funny to you on one day. And then the next day it's like, oh, that's so stupid. Oh my
or that's
God.
So sweet.
Or, yeah, that's so sweet. Or, well, she wasn't sleeping with the pie, was she? Were they going to go run off and get married together? Like, it depends on your mood how it's going to affect you. But it still impacts
you. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter because they've got the click.
Them to be, to evoke an emotion.
Yeah.
Because emotion sells. And generally, in a negative emotion.
Well, then you're going to remember it and you're going to post about it on the internet. Like, I had to read this stupid article and it was really dumb.
Right.
And then you post it and share it to all your friends, and they're like, I agree, that was really stupid. But now all of you have had a hit on that website, and they've got 55 hits for the day. Yay!
Right, and they get their money from the advertisers.
Yeah.
And the advertisers realize that they've got that many hits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now your Diply or your Clickhole or all of those sites that are really kind of depraved to begin with have gotten their hits and
they're being talked about like actively, and so it's pulling more
about
people
them right
into
now
hole.
I mean, we're putting this out in a podcast,
yeah,
and we're discussing them by name,
but at least we're pointing out the science behind it, and we're pointing why you should probably not click that link a billion times.
Sure, but I mean, it's like, it's interesting.
So I went to BuzzFeed right now just for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like 15 things Americans don't realize are weird about college in the U.S. Okay. Which house probably gives out better candy on Halloween? Please take just 1 minute to appreciate the new first cat of New Zealand.
Oh, and the freaking...
That's the cute thing, right?
The life hacks?
Oh, yeah. I tested these 16 new life parent hacks.
I've done so many life hack lists, and I'm like, I already know that. Like, my mom taught me that when I was a kid.
So, you know what? You won't believe the different kind of media that uses clickbait. More after this.
Hi, I'm John Stith, author of Manhattan Transfer. You can find me at neverend.com, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
Okay, so our question for today is, what superpower would you have?
Just one.
So not a combination. Not so you couldn't say Superman because he has a variety of superpowers.
Right. Who would want to be Superman? Seriously.
Superman would.
Well,
even Superman wants to be Batman.
Yeah, seriously. Anyways, if I could have one superpower, period, point blank, end of story, I would want to be able to teleport at whim. Because then I could go to work, you know, straight from home and not have to drive.
But only if you worked at whim.
Just ruined my whole superpower.
Well, you said you'd teleport
there. It's
ruined
now. But I really hate commuting, so yeah. It would be nice if I could just teleport into work. And then from work, like, I could just teleport to Scotland or visit Russia or visit China and just see the sights and have a good time. I think that would be completely awesome. Because I could do whatever I wanted. Like, if I really hated humanity that much, I'd just teleport myself to a desert island beach and chill with a book. Be fantastic.
So it'd be the power to teleport places you've never been before without having seen them and arrive safely without hurting yourself or anyone else.
Yes.
That's important stuff to have, so you don't teleport into a rock.
Yeah, like, I don't want to, like, teleport into somebody or, like, a rock. That
and
would just
Mr.
be weird.
Mr. Science over here, the Earth is constantly moving. So if you teleport wrong, you'll end up somewhere else.
In a rock.
in space.
Yep. But you don't want to end up in a rock.
No.
They end up always in a war.
Control escape.
That's a cool power. I like that one.
That is a cool power. I like that.
What do you think, Troy?
What would you do, Troy?
I would want and I've obviously put a lot of thought into this question over the years. I would want an interesting version of basically invulnerability that is shareable and retroactive. So that would mean it's the power that if you were missing a limb or you had some fatal disease, that when I shared the power with you, it would overcome that. And
kind of like the opposite of Rogue.
Yeah, where Rogue takes all your strength.
That's a very thoughtful power.
it's the one thing that bothers me the most is when I see people that are injured and there's zero way that I can help them. Mm-hmm. So if there was some way to have an unrealistic ability, I would want my ability to be able to overcome that kind of thing and help people. But I also am selfish, so I want to be able to survive as well. So that's why I need it to be part of a power that
so
I have.
So like super selfless, but...
So it couldn't just be it couldn't just be some super healing power that I bestow, but it'd have to be an invulnerability type power.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's very thoughtful.
That makes me feel really selfish.
Me too.
Well, I put a lot of thought into it. You guys just had the question sprung on you. So.
Right. But I love to travel, and I want to see the world, so right. I would just be like, bye.
And teleportation would be up there as one of my seconds, because, mm-hmm. yeah.
I would want to be able to turn into any spaceship I could imagine.
Because you love to have lots of people inside of you.
Yes. That is exactly it.
I'm sorry, I killed Chelsea.
So there's our AWA.
Because the ships are usually like the Navy, too.
And so, yeah, he'd be full of seamen.
Yes. And now you know. My secret is out. And Chelsea will recover in 3 episodes.
We need to get her an oxygen tank. She can't breathe.
But that would be my thought.
If you have a question you'd like to ask us.
Yep. You can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
And we are back. We are here at our favorite Starbucks, just south of First on Wadsworth. And we are talking about 7 things you wouldn't understand. Actually, we're talking about clickbait. And this segment, we're going to talk about clickbait in different medias. And kind of like the pre-clickbait clickbait.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. clickbait how the psychological function of clickbait has been there all along mm-hmm. in various media. And it's just clickbait's the newest version or newest iteration of the same thing. Because, I mean, we've had it in newspapers forever, you know. Joe Smith murdered 6 people, turned to page 27. You know, and... Mm-hmm. You know,
and now it's like, Americans are outraged about how what this avocado did.
Yes. Avocado kills 17 people. Story at 11. I mean, you know, we've had it in all of the different versions of media.
Yellow journalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yellow journalism. Well, yellow journalism, I think, is a little different.
Like yellow journalism is the Yellow Kid.
Yeah. Well, yellow journalism comes from Yellow Kid, but mm-hmm. it also comes from a war between Pulitzer and come on, you're looking at it, aren't you?
I'm just going to let looking, you.
No, don't, no, no. Because I'm pulling from memory. You're looking at the article.
Because I like to cheat.
I'm proud of myself. I pull it from memory.
So is the world. World owner Joseph Pulitzer.
Yep.
So he's crushing the competition. William Randolph Hearst, New York
Hearst.
Journal,
that's what
by
I was
running
to say.
The Adventures of the Yellow Kid. Eventually, Hearst bought Hogan's Alley from the world in a ridiculous bidding war that makes Facebook's acquisition of WhatsApp look sane.
Yes.
All taken straight from there. But it's kind of just like mean, derogatory stuff, but it got you to read it.
Right. And the whole point was... that it's the concept behind it was to make readers, whoever had the most readers, mm-hmm. won the prize, won the cookie, won the whatever. And the whole idea behind this was to, it was a race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. It was who could find the most dirt. But then they started to lie, and they started to make stuff up, and people started to believe them because they were making up all this junk, and that's where the term yellow journalism
right.
comes
like
from.
One of the examples they give that was actually used in 1913 in the world was King Victor shielded by his queen from assassin's bullets.
Right.
Otis Crook to end days in the prison he loves.
Well, right. So those are now on YouTube. There's a lot of different things like, oh my God, please help me, and let me tell you this horrible story about the worst thing that ever happened to me. And you're like, oh my God, something bad happened to you? Oh my God, what was it? It's like, I went to Starbucks and I didn't get a mocha.
Right.
I got a frap instead. And you're like, okay, that's not the worst thing ever. Or they're like, I've never given up like this. Or like, you guys, I'm so done. And they'll hashtag it clickbait. And you click it anyways, even though you know it's clickbait. Like, it's gone meta all of a sudden. You're like, why? Why am I clicking this thing?
And you know you're being played. Mm-hmm. You know you're being played.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you fall for it anyway.
Because you want to see.
That's just part of that. Like, it's part of the whole psychology.
You have to be like justified, right? You know what's going to happen. So you have to click it to prove that you know what's going to happen. And if it becomes a twist and you're like, well, that was a twist. I didn't expect that. And then maybe you go feeling a little bit better about yourself because it wasn't the thing you thought it was.
Right. So there's that 5% chance that there might be a twist. And therefore, you're justified. No.
Well,
no.
And I should talk to you guys about the Google Deep Dive. So Tyler and I will go on Google Deep Dives where we're like, how do kittens with stubby legs walk? And then we'll see a kitten with stubby legs walking. And then we'll be like, okay, maybe we'll think of it, or we'll see a video about dogs with stubby legs. And we're like, how does that dog get stubby legs? Only cats have stubby legs. No, dogs have stubby legs too. And then we'll see like a mutated dog that was actually secretly a werewolf. And then there's another video that's like, werewolves are real. And we'll click it. And you just keep going into this hole of like video after video where it just gets weirder and weirder. And it's fun to just jump down those holes every once in a while, because you just explore.
It's like, oh, that I've had that problem with Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep clicking on them
on articles.
Clicking on them and clicking on them. And you're like, what's that? Oh, click on that. You read that article and you're like, and then there's some reference link in Wikipedia and you're like, oh, I didn't know what that was. So you click on that and you're in a reference link.
Right. And
I've
had
that problem too.
You're just cycling through information. You know, our biggest thing is like the weirdest sounds ever recorded. And I like learned about these Russian test holes or something like that make really weird noises.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a really weird noise. Is there anything weirder than that? Oh, the bloop, the famous ocean bloop. And you just keep going, and
this
you
is
just
like
take
Ask
hours.
Reddits. Whenever somebody puts up Ask Reddits, they'll do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't.
Why aren't
ask,
we doing that?
Why are we not asking Reddit?
No, why aren't we using the tricks that they use? Because we're much more sophisticated than that.
Than we're asking
more
Reddit?
Genuine than that, I would say.
We wouldn't want to
use
tactics like
that. We're not just trying
to
capture attention. Like, we genuinely want...
We appreciate and respect our audience.
Yeah.
We have some more... So whenever you think about us, just remember that we have more respect for you than that. But, that said, click here to do this thing.
You won't believe these 7 reasons we just lied about that.
Yeah, you won't believe these 7 reasons why you should click on this and
next
listen
on
to our
Tank.
Story.
Is Troy murdered by an avocado?
Find out after this. Anyway, so there's a lot of psychology and things like that that's in there. But we talked about the science in the first part. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to address the science in our heads on this one. Because I was just saying during the break, I really got addicted to the clickbait stuff for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew they were playing me. And I knew they were messing with my head. And it really bothers me.
Because someone intelligent shouldn't be caught by these tricks. And so
I always have a problem when someone starts messing with my head.
You're doing it because you want information. Like, it might be like something about Star Trek and like, here's what I think about this character. And then it pops into, this is how that character relates to this different character. And so you're just starting to dive.
Right.
Like, it's an information download, essentially, right? Because you think...
It's a curiosity gap.
It is.
It is. It's just part of that gap that they were talking about with the information gap that George Lowenstein was talking about.
You're trying to fill it.
They're filling in that thing, but generally speaking, I have always felt that targeted ads were not a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you just get chatter and trash.
Right, because I don't care about Jersey Shore, so I don't need to know 49 hidden secrets of every episode of Jersey Shore.
Exactly. So I'd rather have 49 hidden secrets of Star Trek than 49 hidden secrets of Jersey Shore, because I don't care about Jersey Shore.
Right.
But then they start playing the mind tricks of, here are the secret things you didn't know about Star Trek. Well, I've got to know about the secret things I didn't know about Star Trek.
Right.
I'm a hardcore Trekkie. How would I not know these
things? Well, maybe there's like one thing you don't.
And you're like, what if I don't know that one thing? And then I'll never know that one thing.
And then you can't, because every time I look at it, I'm like, there's one thing I don't know.
In some way, that's the I'm not winning as a geek if I don't have every piece of minutia about
this. It brings out your competitiveness. Like, if I don't know all these things, I'm going to be so mad at myself, and then I'm not a true nerd.
Because one time you're talking to another Trekkie, and you're like, well, how did you not know that so-and-so had 9 toes and he lost the other toe in World War II?
Right.
Or something, and you're like, how could I not know that?
Like, a finger. What? Right. There's no way that's true. And like, you're fighting and fighting and fighting because you never heard that before. And then you look it up and you found out you were wrong.
I have no idea if there's any at all relation to what I just made up.
It was a finger, and it was James Doohan, and he lost a finger in World War II. And you can only see it in the episode Trouble with Tribbles.
My improvised made up thing. Yep.
Broke Chelsea a little bit. And there you go.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
He also got shot in the chest, but he had a whiskey bottle flask that stopped the bullet.
See, but it's also fun to learn things that you didn't know. That, like, maybe you're just starting out in a fandom. Like, maybe you're brand new to the Star Wars universe, and everybody's freaking out about these new movies.
By the way, I totally improvised that off the top of my head, and it turned out to be a real thing.
And then it was a thing. It's all your fault.
It is.
It wouldn't be funny if there wasn't something that was like
that. That happened.
You're like, he didn't, like, number the episode. Because he would do that.
He said Trouble with Tribbles, so...
Yeah, but he didn't, like, say episode number...
I'm getting better. I'm a recovering Trekkie at this point.
And who the caterer? Who did craft services for that episode?
Do you know what?
Who made all the Tribbles? How many Tribbles appear in the episode?
We're at 9 minutes and 15 seconds of this section.
So anyway. What other media besides newspapers, television... What are we missing here?
We've got newspapers, television. We've got also radio. Radio will do it too. Mm-hmm. They've played that game a couple of times. I mean, War of the Worlds has got a good example of keeping you in suspense.
Mm-hmm.
But even the podcasts have managed to pull off these things too. Now we've got this whole new generation of podcasts that do these things, and these tricks are there.
You know, the one that's been bothering me. When this first came out, it really irritated me so much because I saw what they're doing. I felt insulted enough that it almost makes me not want to click on, and I very often don't click on things because I know that it's not going to give me 15 bullet points of what I'm asking for. It's going to give me one, and then I have to click for the next one.
Right.
Or it's going to be like one and a freaking paragraph and a half, and you're just like, I don't want to read all of that.
So, yeah, I end up skipping that, but it's either like Instagram or Tumblr or someone. I keep getting these updates that start with the word UHHHH .. Did you know about so-and-so? And it bothers me because it's such horrible grammar and it's an automated response.
It's just
like,
crap.
Why is this AI saying and I have yet to click on any of those. I just saw my
delete them. It's stalled.
It's just irritating. That it's trying to sell me stuff and throw these ads at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go clickbait some stuff while we take a break here. A break. Not a break, but a break.
Hi, this is Catherine S. Renta, also known as Last Key Artist. And Rocky Mountain Geek Tank is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
The break. We didn't fall into a click hole. We're actually back.
Are we sure we didn't fall in the click hole?
Troy might still be down there.
You guys probably shouldn't be talking about click holes on a PG-13 show.
Okay. I'm giving you a finger, but I'm giving you the Scotty version of the finger.
Oh.
So are you ready for one amazing reason clickbait can be bad for you? I'm clickbaiting the clickbaiting.
I see.
What is the one amazingly bad
I'm asking
reason.
If you're ready. I didn't say
I'm ready.
Yes,
I'm ready.
Well, I'm glad you're ready.
Because you don't have it.
So we're going to be talking about the negative effects of clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not the least of which is that it is an amazing, astonishing time suck.
It's
I think
such
Chelsea
a time
has
suck.
Demonstrated that.
Yeah.
It's
well,
so
and it's not
bad.
Just Chelsea. It's me. I mean, I've been sucked into that stupid clickbait too.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is to get clicks. I mean, that's the whole idea.
They're trying to keep you on their website and get you through as many pages as possible, as fast as possible. So things have to be short, they have to be concise, and they have to draw you in and keep you there.
Right. They want you there for as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is that I find it interesting that, you know, that hero, the one hero you were talking about, is spitting all their information back out and just defeating that entire purpose.
Right.
Thank you, hero. Yeah. Thank you, well, clickbait savior.
The source of journalism. They're getting to the story.
Exactly. Right. Well, and a lot of times, like, you'll be hindered by a bunch of GIFs, which on your phone won't load for hours. So you're sitting there like, I really want to see this GIF and see if it applies to the context above. And sometimes it doesn't. And it's really disappointing. Well, and other times you're like, ah, I love that GIF. I'm going to save it.
I'm going to click on a spiral link out of this. But I love that Will Wheaton and give me a second. My brain's trying to shut down now. Hardwick, Will Wheaton and Chris Hardwick have this ongoing battle over whether it's GIF or GIF. And so they're constantly arguing about that.
So it's like between meme and Mimi and May May. And you're just like, why?
Mimi's a waitress from the 70s, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
So the
Mimi's a horrific character on the Drew Carey show.
One obvious negative effect of this is how it's fueling the fake news concept.
It is.
And it's just, it's making people think all news is disgraceful, since clickbaits are giving you half promises and fulfilling them.
Definitely. And people repost it like all the time without fact checking, and it just becomes this nasty, bitter fight over what's right and what's not. And
well,
sometimes
it's
people
back
are
yellow
like
journalism.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a return of this yellow journalism.
But the biggest thing is check your facts. Where's your fact checker? Like, people use Snopes all the time to check, you know, political facts, because the biggest thing about clickbait is like, you won't believe what Rush Limbaugh did to this little girl.
Right. But nobody's verified or checked it.
Right, because every liberal is going to jump on that like, ha ha.
That's the thing is, if you if you want to believe it, that's when you definitely need to fact check it.
Definitely.
Well, and the more, and now, of course, with the political divisiveness of our nation, you can guarantee 50% of the population will click on it if you just make it politically aligned.
Right.
You align it to conservative or liberal, and man, you've got a 50% audience right there built in.
Like, it's like ready to be mad.
It's like sucking in the Trekkies. I mean, you can suck in the Trekkies by saying 47 things that you didn't know about Star Trek, and you got us, because it could be that one thing you didn't know. Well, you know, so but it's the same kind of problem. Then again, you bring in, you know, Rush Limbaugh. You won't believe what Rush Limbaugh did today. Will draw in your liberals, and you know, you won't believe what Obama did today.
Even
do, will
like,
draw in your
conservatives. Even liberals are outraged by this new Obama policy.
Right.
And you're like, what? Like, what? Liberals are mad about this?
Well,
I need to check this. And then you've got
now
everybody.
Yeah.
Like, come
now,
on. Because
now you've got the entire political spectrum is in on that one.
Right. Well, and then you have these lists, right? These five facts about the Republican Party and why it's deteriorating.
Right.
And you're like, ooh.
And the more important thing is that even if they don't click on it, those words will leak into their consciousness.
People talk about things they see every day, and those kind of things tend to stick out.
Right.
Because politics is part of our daily lives.
They didn't click on it, and so they'll still talk about, for days later, they will talk about how the Republican Party's deteriorating because of that headline.
Right.
And they didn't read that the Republican Party, let's just say, is not deteriorating. It's just that, you know, Joe Smith, the Republican minority whip, was sick 5 days ago,
or
and therefore he didn't do his job.
Like,
and
the paint's peeling off the wall.
Right, the paint's peeling off of the walls.
They just tricked
you.
Right.
The
wording.
Well, like,
so they tricked you in by going into there.
Because you feel justified in reporting that because it was in a headline.
Right. It's yellow journalism.
The one that I saw recently that I thought was a really, really cool but evil trick that people are going to fall for is the average family will save $4,000, and it means mathematically average.
Right.
So that means if I had $1 million, I could say, and you guys had $0, I could divide that by three and say, we on average have this much money.
Oh, boo.
Right. It's
That's
totally
nasty.
Because people's brains think they mean average Joe.
Right.
The normal family that you see is going to save this. That's not what they mean. They're saying average in the mean average statistic.
And of course,
aspect.
An average family, when you
average
factor
the,
in the Waltons who have Walmart.
Right.
You're now, we're a pittance.
Right. But then again, like, with clickbait on the other half, like, you might be really well educated. Like, I was looking up, what was it, myths about presidents.
And like Abraham Lincoln really is the tallest president. But the biggest one was Howard Taft did not get stuck in a bathroom in the White House. He had one commissioned and brought in and it was huge, but it fit him. So he never got stuck in the bathtub.
Right.
It was just, I think it was a Democratic like rumor that just kept keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just kept going. And like Abraham Lincoln's stovepipe hat wasn't really 3 feet tall. It was standard for everybody else's size. It was the same size.
Right.
So
right.
like you get nice articles like that where you're like, I want to know things well, that I thought I didn't.
And there's
or
all kinds
knew
of things where history has twisted and distorted things. Like Napoleon wasn't short.
He wasn't at all. He was like 5'8" or 5'9".
He was just short comparatively speaking. But he was,
ridiculous.
He was a normal sized person. It's just that everybody kept saying he was short because he was short relative to other things.
Well, and history is written by the victors. So you
right.
get misinformation.
So there's a rumor that Taft got stuck in a bathtub?
Yeah, yeah. I knew that like as a kid that yeah. Taft, when he was in the White House, got stuck in the bathtub and it took like 15 firefighters to get him out. But he never actually got stuck in the bathtub. It's just a rumor. There's no written record anywhere in diaries and
yep.
White House reports that he ever got stuck in a bathtub. But, like, I knew it. My buddy Carl knew it. And we're in the same age range.
Yep.
I don't know where it came from.
Now, see, it wasn't Taft that got stuck in a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Laura Petrie, the wife of Rob Petrie from the Dick Van Dyke Show, that got her toe stuck in the bathtub.
I'm just gonna,
boy, you're just dishing that one out. Now it's a petri dish. Okay, so.
But so most of the time, it's very loosely researched.
What is harmful about clickbait? What is it really harmful? It's part of the yellow journalism, which is starting to really erode.
Either
at
that,
everything,
or it's and like then, super in brief without all of the facts in there. So
well,
it's
yeah,
partial
no,
info.
There's no governing rules that say the 7 weird tricks I tell you to lose weight are necessarily going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it could be
this one weird
one
trick.
One weird trick could get you hurt.
Well, and it could be like an ad as well with like the
exactly.
ones to lose
we
weight or the ones
rules.
To live healthier and then it's a diet supplement and you're like, I was just fed a whole ad.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it's well, and that's the thing. There are rules that say that you cannot tell lies
mm-hmm.
in advertisements. There are rules that specifically say that.
But this isn't
otherwise
this isn't
false
an advertisement.
Advertising. Right.
And so now it gets to sidestep it. You're just coming to my website where I can tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I can tell you anything.
Well,
and, you
and it
can
could be a
it.
Satire website. Like I had to explain The Onion to one of my friends.
Right.
Because they had clicked on The Onion and they didn't know what it was. And I was like, dude, how do you not get this?
Like Duffelblog. Oh, how many people think Duffelblog is right?
Oh, Jesus.
That's a military satire website.
Yeah.
And it's totally... I heard it's, they published something a while back that Obama was going to change everything in the military, and I don't remember what it was, but it had a whole slew of conservatives completely up in arms, and it's a satire website, and they had just completely fired off something ridiculous. And it was because they were just... It was a satire.
Mm-hmm. And they don't have to list themselves as satire at all. I don't think The Onion at all mentions online
no,
that it's
have
a satire
to know
website.
That The Onion's
you
satire.
Know.
And you just know. Now, all of us who've grown up with The Onion, we know The Onion's satire.
It's
and its
fantastic.
Title is satire.
But there are people who don't know.
But
they,
there are people who yeah. do
well,
not
honestly
know.
Honestly, don't know.
And part of the Onion's design is to look as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it funny.
Well, it used to be in print, so you could pick it right. up next to your general newspaper.
Right. I mean, so, and that's part of what makes them funny is that. So I can kind of, I mean, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
I totally get it. I get that that's...
I was a writer for a small, fake online news thing called 9-Inch News.
Yep.
Oh, that's an awesome title.
Thanks. I came
I
up with it.
I love it. That's fantastic.
The only drawback to that title is 9-Inch Nails fans thought it was news about 9-Inch
oh, no.
Nails.
And you're like, no, it's not N-I-N.
Like,
sorry,
no, but
bro.
I am a fan, but that's not it. We'll last question I'm going to leave hanging in the air. Will clickbait be the death of journalism? Because it's going to get all the clicks and all the eyes and real journalism is getting ignored.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, but most media is gone online now. They say that magazines and newspapers are being killed. It's because we literally have a computer in our pocket that we can access, and we can access the internet anywhere.
And
I mean,
people are
going to
click
New
on
York
clickbait
Times,
stuff before they click on a real news story.
Well, and people don't have the time to go and research
but
it.
But newspapers use it too.
They do, but
all the time.
Real newspapers have a slightly stricter set of rules and guidelines they have to follow than clickbait or clickhole or
definitely, you know, definitely
buzzhole,
but
clickfeed.
Newspapers know their audience. It's definitely not my generation.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not going to consume it. It's just not our kind of thing. We like short and sweet and to the point. The biggest thing is my generation doesn't fact check probably as well as they should or research because we grew up with the internet and we didn't have to use libraries for research.
It's becoming the 8-track tape.
Yep. Yeah, who knows?
So I don't think it'll kill journalism. I think it'll just condense it into a smaller format, probably an easier, quicker to consume format because we're all always running out of time and never have time to read like a 5,000 word article on the destruction of our economy. And we don't really care.
Right. Right. Well, there you go.
Well, that's it for now. We're going to transfer over to a one-minute debate. What will we argue? What will there be? Tune in. It's front versus back. Each side gets 30 seconds, and then they get to rebuke the other side for another 30 seconds. And who's going to start? Who's going to start?
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Set, go.
I think front clasping is better than back clasping because it's easier to clasp. I also think that it's just generally easier to clasp in the front than it is for the back because you don't have to turn it around. You know, it just makes it a simpler and easier way to wear a bra, personally.
All right, Troy, you ready?
Sure.
All right, here you go.
So I am pro back clasp on bras because that they come in much more of a variety of adjustability, so they're going to last you longer as in case your size changes. And although it might be a little trickier to put on from the back, it's not really that hard once you practice a lot, I've discovered. And because they're more adjustable, they fit people in better sizes, and you have a better chance of getting a more fit for your band size.
All right. Are you ready to combat that guy?
Yep.
Ready, set, go.
Problem with a back clasp, of course, is that you have to bring it around your body, clasp it, and then swing it all the way around, and then put your arms through the holes, and then put it all on. And that's just a lot of trouble. And a pain in the back, I guess, or pain in the boobs. Probably a pain in the boobs. And that just seems like a real troublesome way to do it. Front clasping is so much easier.
All right, guy, are you ready?
Yeah.
Troy, Jesus,
I am a guy.
I have not had enough coffee. All right, here you go.
So I don't know why you're doing it that way. Maybe your arms don't bend back, but I don't spin it around. I just put it straight.
Because you're an alien.
I guess. But it's. I think the advantage of being able to find more of a variety of different colors and different styles that clasp from the back is a huge advantage over the ones that clasp from the front. And also the ones that clasp from the front, I know, are really bad for you because they pinch your chest hairs, and that's not very titillating. So I'm going to stand abreast my opinion that the back clasps are better than front clasps.
And that was our argument. Who won? Because clearly neither of them know anything about bras. Women, help me out and educate them.
Write to us at questions@RockyMountainGeek.com.
They can wire us.
You can wire us.
Oh, boom.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank George Lowenstein and Carnegie Mellon and their interesting information gap theory. And
I'd like to hear your thoughts on clickbait itself. Is journalism, traditional journalism, really dying? And maybe should it change into a new form? So definitely write us on Facebook. Email us at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
I'd really like to hear what you guys think.
Until next time, please practice intelligent and safe double-clicking.
Okay, I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 308.
As
As always, you can email us at questions@rockymountaingeektank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at rmgeektank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Gaius Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade.
I'm Mike Davis, and I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Good night.